So today is Pentecost Sunday, and so I did a lot of soul searching what to do today. So I learned a lot. My knowledge continually increases, as we all do with the Holy Spirit. But in these past few months, we've all celebrated Jesus' birthday at Christmas. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. And today is the 50th day after the resurrection, the seventh Sunday from Easter, which we celebrate as Pentecost. Basically, it's the birthday of the church. The Pentecost celebrates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and other followers of Jesus while they were in Jerusalem celebrating the Feast of the Weeks, as described in the Acts of Apostles. Acts 2 narrates the outpouring of Holy Spirit, and he fills the disciples with each of the other followers that were there in special ways. One of these ways was so they could communicate, so they could speak in different languages. And another special way was the Holy Spirit gave Peter the courage to give a sermon, the first sermon. Now let us listen from Acts 2, 1 through 21.
Good morning. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we could hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your younger men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.' This is the word of the Lord."
So we heard from the verses, the scripture, that in verse 1, the day of Pentecost had come. The apostles and all the followers were together in one place, just as they were told to do, and wait for the promise of the Father. But this one place is called the upper room, the same place where they gathered many times when they were in Jerusalem, the same place where the Lord's Supper was held, and now the place where they were wondering what's next for them, what's going to happen to them. The same thing that happened to Jesus. They were fearful of that. They were worried about the same fate. And when I think of the upper room, I keep hearing the Hamilton song, "The Room Where It Happens." If you know the songs, you know what I'm talking about. And it says, like, the room where it happens. Oh, I've got to be in the room where it happens. Wouldn't it be amazing to have been in that upper room just to see? Or maybe it would not be amazing. Who knows? It's up to you how you would feel. Verse 2 and 3 continues that there is a sound from heaven like a rush of mighty wind. And it's appeared to them in tongues of fire and scattered, resting on them. That's when the Holy Spirit came into the people who were there, the apostles. And we know from the scripture, fire is not uncommon with the Holy Spirit. An example is that when the Lord appeared to Moses in the flame of fire, he was in the midst of the bush, the burning bush. So at that time, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them a gift of communication. Now they could hear each other's in their own language. So one might say that the Holy Spirit was the ultimate translator, allowing everybody to understand everybody else's, their tongues and their language. It also talks about many there that witnessed the event were disbelieving, describing that they were drunk. And that when Peter stood up, had the courage to step up with his apostles, he lifted up his voice. And so I can visualize him kind of yelling over all the commotion that was going on. I'm sure there was commotion. And addressed them, "Listen to what I'm saying. They are not drunk. It's too early. It's in the morning at 9 a.m. I kept thinking and thinking when I was preparing, why did they mention 9 a.m.? Is it, if it happened at 12 or noon, that made a difference? We wasn't in the room, I don't know, but it's probably the Lord setting that time. And he reminded them all that this happening was foretold. And then in the last days it shall, God declared, that an outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, and the sons and the daughters shall prophesy, and the young men shall see the visions, and the old shall see dreams, or shall have their dreams of dreams. So if you think about all this for a little bit, you could know that Jesus was here on earth with us. He walked among us all, and he was a teacher. And when Pentecost came, he basically came inside of us as the Holy Spirit. We don't talk much about the Holy Spirit today. And we are being taught about God and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit not so much, even though we should. The Holy Spirit is in us. She talks to us. She guides us. And the main problem is we have free will, so we will ignore the guidance of the Holy Spirit from time to time. The Holy Spirit makes things happen. I spoke a few weeks ago about our faith grows with learning and knowledge of God. And this only comes from the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So what's very interesting is faith, knowledge, and providence is centered by God and the Holy Spirit, which is what we are as Christians. A few weeks ago, I was speaking to a colleague of mine about a passing of one of our coworkers. He was a great man, a caring person. And on a side note, we learned later that he was a Christian. He had mission work repairing cars for unwed mothers. I didn't know that. He's always to himself. We also heard when he knew that his days were ended here on earth, he was concerned who was going to take care of his mothers. And so he actually made a difference. And he was concerned about who was going to carry that on after he passed. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit was guiding him. So we continue to discuss how we see our own lives at times and how it feels like an uncertain mess. And it's like a back of a needlepoint project. When we were born, we're all like a blank canvas with God holding our pattern and not knowing what that pattern is. So when the Holy Spirit comes within us, she is guiding our lives, and not to be too stereotypical, like our grandmothers, or in my case, my wife, Laura, making needlepoint projects with holding the tools of needle, thread, canvas, and the pattern. Have you ever looked at the needlepoint project in progress? Have you ever looked at the back of it?
Go ahead.
So this is the back of a project. You can't see it, but you probably know what it looks like if anybody's ever been involved in one. And so you can always see how the strings go, and they're tied off, and sometimes it depends on how neat the needle pointer, whatever you call that person, the one who's doing the work. Sometimes have a lot of strings, and sometimes they tie it off real neatly. That's sort of what we get to see as we live in our life. So we think of our. We think of our lives as the back of a canvas, with the strings going every which way, being tied off in knots, and these knots are redirections represented in our life. We don't experience if we do not experience this redirection and change in colors, it would be one string, one color, no pattern, no final product. So these knots and redirections represent our life. And if we don't experience these redirections or difficulty, a life we could say may be boring. So what I'm trying to say is I think of this all the time, not necessarily in the back of a scene, back of a needle point. But what is our purpose? You start looking and it's just a mess. And you say, what is our life like? Because all we're seeing is this. And what does done look like? Because we don't know the finish. We don't know what God has in store for us. And so can I make a difference? Am I going to make a difference? Is it too late to make a difference? So as we grow in the Spirit, we started observing the front of the canvas. And we see where we've been and the differences we made. So now we get to start seeing the front of it. We get to see. So now it all comes together. And so once the pattern is complete, that's a product of our life. But I also see that our canvas is continually to grow. Is not set in the side, is not predetermined on the size of it. So we always have the ability to change. And so if you make a mistake in life and you have a few needle points, not in the wrong place, wrong tide, miss, wrong color, it blends in. No one knows what it is unless you go up in there and say, see, that's my mistake. No one sees those because you're able to continue to grow. So we could actually see what our differences have made. We could see where our pattern grows. And one last point. At the end, I already said my last point. But the big thing is don't point out your mistakes. Just keep growing with it. My son Michael, I was working with him. With his sign shop, and I was painting for him. And here I was painting really, really careful, trying to stay, quote, on the lines and everything like that. And he said, Dad, the sign's going to be about 500 feet away. No, they're not going to come up and put their nose on it to see that you're out of the line a little bit. And that's where our life is. You stand back, you get to see it. No one's going to come up to put their nose on the project. Well, that's our life. So I'm going to end today with this, that the question is that only you and the Lord and the Spirit has the answer of what your life looks like, what your canvas is going to look like. Who's guiding the needle and threads? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide those? Are you interfering with that? Just think about that. That's why we have free will. We can interfere it. But if we allow it to happen, who knows what our life will be? So let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your abundance, grace, and peace we receive through the Holy Spirit. Knowing that you provided everything we needed and we need for life and goodness, by allowing you to guide us through our life with your love, we ask you continued guidance watching over us, and thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen.